Okay, welcome back. If you are supposed to be in the session about status offenses, you are in the right place. I want to introduce our speaker, Judge David Indorf. Served as a judge for the city of Dallas from 1985 to 2004. Overlapping some of that time, he was also a presiding judge in Sunnyvale and Crandall, and he is currently the presiding judge in Anna and has been since 2005. He did his undergraduate work at Tulane in New Orleans and has got his law degree from SMU. He has also served as the board of directors of the State Bar of Texas Municipal Judges Section since 1998. He was vice chair of the section in 2001 and 2002 and chair in 2002 and 2003. He also received the Texas Municipal Court Association's Municipal Judge, Outstanding Municipal Judge for the state of Texas in 99-2000. Please help me welcome Judge David Indorf. And he may not mention that yesterday at this time, we didn't think he was going to make it because he is fighting off strep throat, but I talked to him last night and he was going to hop on the plane and give it a go, so we're very happy to have him here. So here we go.
How about now? There we go. Doing my best Kermit the Frog. As Mark said, if you are supposed to be in status offenses, you're in the right place. I hope you continue to feel it's the right place 45 minutes from now, if my voice makes it that long. I think all lawyers at some level are hams. There's a show, for lack of a better term, called Bar None that the Dallas Bar Foundation presents every year. It funds the diversity scholarship at SMU Law School. I'm a member of the I'm in the cast. I write, et cetera, et cetera. But the run of the show was last week, and all of us who were there, our voices are just shredded. So that's the source of this. What we're going to go through for the next 45 minutes or so is really, really basic stuff. I mean, it's stuff that we all know. Let's look at this as a refresher as much as anything else. But the thing that is striking and that I think we really need to keep in mind as we process these cases in our courts is the young people that are standing before us. Mark mentioned that I used to be for a while I was the presiding judge for the city of Crandall, which is a small town east of Dallas. And several courts in a row, I had an abnormally high number of young people in court. And finally, I said something to the court clerk. I said, "What in the world is going on?" And the school resource officer was there, too. And I thought that it was the school resource officer, you know, really exerting herself, and by God, we're going to take control of these children, et cetera. That wasn't it at all. It had become a badge of pride at Crandall High School to get in trouble and to have to go to court. And I said, you know, if going to court is not a disincentive, we've lost. You know, we're just really in trouble here. So that is not the status that we're talking about here. What we're talking about, oh, by the way, Mark has been here, there, and everywhere. I stole almost all of my PowerPoint from him, so he gets a full writing credit for it, and I appreciate his generosity in allowing me to use his presentation. All right. Now, what is a status offense? What does it mean? Very simply, it's an action that's prohibited to a certain class of people. I haven't seen y'all's the papers y'all have. I don't know if they're in other schools. There's been a worksheet for y'all to write on. If that's in your materials, it tracks the slides precisely. So if you don't get something, I think I see on this table that the PowerPoint slides are in your book as well. The stuff on these is in the slides. So if you fall behind or if something's happening and you're daydreaming and you don't write something down, that's fine. It's all in there. You can find all of it. And before I go any farther, the other thing I really want to mention to you is if you have any questions about this topic whatsoever, and I think it's in your materials, Margaret Robbins did a study guide for the clerk's certification course a couple of years ago. And as far as I know, the legislature hasn't changed anything too dramatically. That is your source. That's your source for any questions about this, about these status offenses, this Margaret Robbins clerk certification guide. All right. Family code defines status offenses, or a status offense is an action that's prohibited for minors or children because of their age. It's something that would not be, otherwise be illegal but for the age of the person who is charged with the offense. And there we go, right there. Status offender is a child who's accused, adjudicated, or convicted for conduct that would not under a state law be a crime if committed by an adult. Who can think, without going forward, it's going to be in here, but who can think of some things that might be? There you go. Tobacco, alcohol, those are the immediate ones that come to mind. Curfew offenses. Failure to attend school. Someone's looking ahead. In Dallas, in May, we passed a juvenile daytime curfew ordinance. Have any of y'all, have any of your cities gone down that road? This gentleman over here. But is it for daytime or just or the 11 to 6, the nighttime? Okay. She said they have curfew ordinances in her town, but it's just nighttime. I couldn't figure out why in the world the city of Dallas was trying to pass this daytime curfew ordinance. We've got truancy. We've got the officers have enforcement there to get the people, the young children off the streets. Can anybody think of a rational basis? It seems like it's a duplication of effort. But why in the world do we need a daytime curfew if we've already got these? Say again.
Gangs.
She said gangs.
Spring break.
Yes. Don't need packs of kids burglarizing. How about the simple fact that for truancy you got to have 10 absences before you can enforce it, and this is a one-time shot. You'll need the one incident, the one event before it becomes an offense. Okay. Here's some examples of status offenses. We didn't mention the violation of standards of student conduct, but y'all, speaking throughout the room, so y'all got a whole bunch of these. Am I in someone? I'm sure I'm in somebody's way. If not, I'm in my own way. There's the juvenile curfew. There's the alcohol. There's the tobacco. Fine only offense. That for behavior that wouldn't be criminal if it were engaged in by an adult. See, y'all can't see this, but in other sessions, people were having difficulty getting everything down because, like so many teachers, I tend to go faster than people can write. So I said, all right, I'm going to make this really easy on them. And because of the dynamics of the room, you can't see this, but all the blanks in your paper, the blanks in the worksheet, those are written in red. I said, I'm going to make it so easy on these people. Of course, we lose that on the screen here, but on the laptop up here, it's just nice, pretty, contrasting red. It's real easy to see. All right. And, of course, Texas, the legislature being what it is, they're not going to make it easy on us. They're not going to say, okay, here is the status offenses code. Uh-huh. No. We're going to have to go to a whole bunch of different places to figure out what these things are. Local ordinances, the alcohol beverage code, health and safety code, the penal code, the transportation code. And of course, and again, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. We all know this. We know that not only do we have to go to these various codes to figure out what a status offense is, but the ages don't line up either. In some circumstances, one age group is okay, and in other circumstances, that same age group is not okay. And if nothing else, that's what this paper does for you all, is it kind of gathers all this stuff up together in one spot. All right. Family code, which is where I'm a practicing lawyer, and I practice primarily juvenile law, and within the juvenile law, that's practically all within the family code. Under the family code, a child is defined as a person between the ages of 10 and 17. 10 inclusive, 17 exclusive. Then we go to the Code of Criminal Procedure with their definition of a child. At least 10, younger than 17, and charged with or convicted of an offense that we have jurisdiction of in our courts, the justice or municipal courts. The Education Code, compulsory school attendance. And I will be right smack up front with you all. In the city of Anna, where I'm the presiding judge, we don't, if we get these, they don't come to my court. I don't know if they send them to the JP or whatnot. So, I'm going to admit to you, I don't know much about this particular statute because I don't work with it. I haven't worked with it on a daily basis. If you all do have questions about it, I can try to get answers for you, or we can kind of discuss them in a group. But I think it's easier to just admit your shortcomings up front than try to bluff your way through. But that's what the education code has to say about it. And then of course the transportation code under the age of 17. We know that's pretty standard. Alcoholic beverage code under the age of 21. Health and safety code under the age of 18. So you can smoke, but you can't drink. Go figure. All right, here's this is always a fun little section. We know that in municipal courts, we have jurisdiction of fine-only offenses. And then somebody somewhere always will mention that fine-only offenses other than public intoxication. And then once in a while someone will say, why don't we have, or where does it say that we don't have jurisdiction of that? You've got to kind of, if in law school, if you ever took a UCC course, commercial transactions or something, the Uniform Commercial Code was always referring you to this section, then that referred you to this section, and that referred you to this section, and that referred you back to the section where you started, and you just made a big circle and hadn't gotten anywhere. That's kind of how this public intoxication thing works. Near as I can figure, 5103 of the Family Code talks about conduct indicating a need for supervision and child engaged in delinquent conduct. 5103F pretty much, the reading of 5103F basically excludes public intoxication. And then, if you go to Article 8.07A4 of the Penal Code, it's one more. That's talking about criminal culpability, and that's done in the. It's done as an exception. Da 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 da. Except public intoxication. I know that 5103 of the Family Code is in your paper, in your materials. I don't know if 8.07 of the Penal Code is. I don't think it is. But you might jot that down. 8.07A4 of the Penal Code is essentially the section that excludes public intoxication, or takes public intoxication out of our courts. Pardon me?
What was that number?
Okay. 8.07. A4. Okay? Pardon me? 8.07 is, all right. I have just learned that 8.07 is in the paper. So it's in there. Have a look at it. You kind of have to do a little bit of, like I said, a little bit of going from section to section to section to section. But ultimately, the loop gets closed, and that's pretty much where it comes from. All right, alcoholic beverage code. As I've said to y'all several times, and I'm going to continue to say it, we know this. I'm not pretending like I'm up here, the great oracle of status offenses. This is stuff that we work with every single day. If not, this is just a refresher. But the ABC offenses are purchase of an alcohol by a minor, attempt to purchase, consumption. Not what I have, that kind of consumption of alcohol. Driving under the influence of alcohol by a minor, possession, misrepresentation of age. And all of those are located in Chapter 106 of the ABC. I would surmise that out here in the West Texas Plains, when we got the young folks out working on the farms and on the ranches, it's perhaps not as I just lost my whole train of thought. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Okay. Tobacco offenses again. Under the age of 18, no cigarettes, no tobacco, no tobacco products. And also you can't falsely represent yourself to be 18 of age or older to get tobacco. One of the things that I mentioned that I do, my law practice is juvenile law, and it always amazes me because every once in a while we'll get one of these that comes through where the young people are charged with criminal trespass. You know, they've been kicked out of school because they won't go to school, so they get kicked out of school. But now that they're kicked out of school, they want to go hang out at school. I never have understood that. I guess. Since they don't have to go now, they want to go up there and see their buddies. I don't know. I see one judge back there who agrees with me. She's smiling and nodding. Possession of intoxicants, disruption of classes or transportation. Oh, there we go. This slide here, these down here are juvenile offenses, but these aren't status offenses. This, what I was yapping about, trespassing, possession, disruption. So why would these be juvenile offenses but not be status offenses? Say again, Judge? The response was it doesn't have any relation to the age, and that's right. The offense is keyed to the behavior and not to the age of the person committing the behavior. In other words, an adult could be charged with those offenses as well, not just a young person. Now, transportation code. This is kind of an interesting deal. If you have a look and tonight, after you've been to the nice hospitality suite and you've looked around and said, "Boy, we are in the middle of nowhere," I guess I'll read, do some light reading. Have a look at 545.424, because the age for vehicular restriction becomes, or cars becomes 18, But for motorcycles and mopeds, it's 17, or younger than 17. So these, I'll say it one more time, we deal with these things every single day, and it can be mystifying and confusing to us as judges about what's an offense, what's not an offense, how should we process this, how should we handle this, what can I do with this young person, what can I not do with this young person. And this is what we do. Can you imagine how mystifying and perhaps even frightening it is for the families and for the young people themselves who are standing before us, who are, unless you're in the city of Crandall where you want to get in trouble, they're standing in front of us at least a little bit nervous, and they don't have a chance in the world of knowing what it is that they're dealing with and what they can expect to have happen as a result of it. So we need to really be cognizant of that, and I know that we're all very, very patient. I'm not suggesting that we are not patient, but if you find yourself becoming a little bit aggravated or a little bit irritated or tempted to become a little bit heavy-handed because the person isn't understanding, please keep that in mind. These things are just, it can be very confusing, and our job is to certainly to get, we're not giving them legal advice, but we want to make sure that they understand all their options and all their rights. But here we go, the transportation code. Can't operate a vehicle after midnight before 5, except work, school, medical emergency. You can have one passenger under 21, but no more than one that's not a family member. Or, used to say talking on the phone, but now, of course, it's texting. And I'll bet anything that texting is already passe, and they're onto something else, and I'm hopelessly behind on that as well. One of the people in our show cast said that her son wasn't there that night because he was working off his texting bill that had gotten, they'd gotten a texting bill that was $700. Because she didn't have the all you can text, she didn't have all you can eat plan on her thing, and she and no one understood that you can be charged for sending and receiving, and you know, and how can you do $700 worth? And I said, because they might have one letter, the letter K, goes back and forth and back and forth. So anyway, no wireless communications devices while you're driving. Is there a question? Or y'all just certainly you're. This can be a forum for discussion, for conversation. So please feel free if you have anything that you want to bring up. This is a great opportunity to do it. We've got a lot of people in here, a lot of opportunity to share ideas and to steal ideas from each other. All right. We talked about curfew as a local ordinance. Purchase of painter and halants. So do y'all have other examples in your jurisdictions that would be considered status offenses? And again, the curfew is a status offense. Purchase of paint and halants status offense because of the age of the person. You know, if you're above a certain age, curfew is not a problem, or purchase of paint or inhalants is not a problem. I'll let this slide speak for itself. In other words, now's about the time when if you were paying attention at all, you kind of started thinking about, well, let's see. It's kind of hot, but I can go get 9 holes in when this is all done. Then Miss Wormwood says, "Nah, not so much." Poor Calvin. All right, I'm going to let you all do a little bit of talking amongst yourselves now. Mike and Carol Brady, we all know who Mike and Carol Brady are, right? The Brady Bunch. We have revised history just a little bit, and now these are the age of the children, the youngins that they have. We can't call them children. 5, 7, 9, 16, 17, 18, and 20. Okay. Now, the next, what we're going to put you to work here. Let's go through the. I'm going to let you all do this on your own at your tables. This is a great forum because y'all can just kind of talk amongst yourselves at your tables and figure out under the Family Code, the Code of Criminal Procedure, the Education Code, Transportation Code, Alcoholic Beverage Code, and Health and Safety Code. Given these ages here, what do we have as far as children and minors? And take maybe 5 or 6 minutes and work through that, and then we'll come back and talk about that. Feel free to cheat. I encourage cheating. All right, we've just about got it squared away. Have y'all quit answering questions and now you're just chatting amongst yourselves? Not a problem there. All right. Okay, Family Code. How many children or minors do we have in the Family Code? I hear a lot of ones. Does anybody disagree with one? It would be a good thing not to disagree with that. It's one, at least 10, but younger than 17, which leaves the 16-year-old. How about the Code of Criminal Procedure? I heard a zero, and what's your rationale for a zero? Okay, all right. But which would be assuming facts, not an evidence. If we change the hypothesis a little bit. Not hypothesis. What's the word I'm looking for? Facts. Well, fact scenario. There's a fancy word for it, though. Anyway, if they were charged with an offense, how many would there be?
One.
Again, at least 10, but younger than 17. Education code. This one. There are actually two possible answers to this one. It's four. It could be five, depending on facts that are not in evidence. But it could be five if one of the children has been enrolled.
5-year-old
Every 5-year-old is a genius if you ask the parent, right? All right. How about the transportation code? I hear a lot of fours. Anybody disagree with four? I don't, but there you go. The ABC. People are getting more bold. Yeah, seven would be the number there. And then how about the health and safety code? Five is it. Excuse me?
That's because we all see them a lot.
Oh, she says that's because we all see them a lot. Yes. But I think as much as anything else, this little exercise illustrates what I was talking about a couple of minutes ago in terms of we need to make sure that the people who are in front of us have a real clear understanding or as much of an understanding as we can make available to them what all these various parameters are. Because all they know is little Johnny or little Susie has received a citation, and they're supposed to go up and see that judge, and gosh, is he going to get thrown in jail? Am I going to get thrown in jail? I mean, it's amazing that people don't know this, but they don't. And we really need to make sure to go through this with them. One thing that I forgot to mention to you when we were going through the slides earlier, if you go back to the slide with the Code of Criminal Procedure 45058, it was a slide earlier in the presentation. That's about what happens when children are taken into custody. There's a laundry list of steps that need to be taken. Y'all need to make sure, and we all need to make sure that we are following those steps and that our police force or our sheriffs are following those steps, because it's couched in terms of shall and not oughta, not should. So just be aware that 45058 of the Code of Criminal Procedure is there, and it just lays out what we need to do when we have these young people before us. All right. So we've got these status offenses. What do we do with them? We can waive our jurisdiction and transfer them to the juvenile court. Let me ask you a question. I always love asking this question. Do any of your juvenile courts accept these cases? Would any of your juvenile courts accept these if you try to send them up to them? I've got people back here nodding. Really? That's amazing. Your juvenile courts must not have much going on in them. This judge back here is shaking his head no. She said, they see them anyway, we might as well take it. I tell you, in Dallas County, they would laugh. Or not Dallas County, but or Dallas County or Collin County or the North Texas counties where I do my work, would laugh if we tried to send these cases up there to them. You know, they can't say grace over what they already have. The one exception being the kids who have gone through truancy court, and the truancy court judge has told them, you need to go to school and you need to do this, and the kids, of course, don't do it. That becomes a contempt charge, and our juvenile courts will accept those, but that's it. That's the only time that I'm aware of our juvenile courts accepting them. It's encouraging to me that they will accept them elsewhere, because it seems like, you know, the law says that you can, but we can't get them to take them. Yes, Judge. The question is, what do you do with younger than 10 that's accused with violating the penal code? Anybody have a thought on that? I see a judge back there wanting to say something. I don't think you can do anything with it. I mean, we don't have jurisdiction. I'm getting blank stares, and I'm getting head shaking no. Yes. The judge's comment was they had a situation in school where an 8-year-old had taken someone else's beanie baby. The case was filed, but the prosecutor dismissed it. The judge's comment is, in the state of Texas, criminal culpability doesn't exist before the age of 10. And that's, you know, Well, if you've changed your scenario a little bit, and that's fine. Your question becomes, what besides criminal prosecution can we do with these folks? Is that basically what I'm hearing you asking? Right. Well,
if the juvenile court doesn't have jurisdiction, I'm just trying to figure out exactly.
No, I understand. Frankly, they're really under the black letter of the law. You know, there's not a lot we can do with it. Now, in the city of Anna, where I'm a judge, and I've judged in places that are a court of record, and cities that are not a court of record. And if you're not a court of record, you're really only limited by your imagination about what you can do, and in terms of almost a social services type of processing that kind of person. But the bottom line is, you know, if someone squawks, we know what the black letter of the law is. All right. The last thing I want to talk to you about is contempt. Contempt to me is especially on the alcohol and the tobacco cases, where these young people are supposed to do this stuff and they don't do this stuff, and the legislature has this whole grandiose notion: well, you can suspend their driver's license. And you say, really? You know, this child's grandparents don't have a driver's license. This child's parents don't have a driver's license. This child does not have a driver's license. Is never going to get a driver's license. You know, why would they? Yeah, oh, sure, suspend my license. You know, they don't care. Contempt, 45050 of the Code of Criminal Procedure, is the contempt statute, and it's actually a pretty powerful tool, because of the ability to, you can refer the child to the juvenile court for delinquent conduct, which apparently in the back half of the room it happens. Or you can keep jurisdiction, hold the child in contempt, fine up to $500, and or suspend the driver's license. So it's you can do both. You can fine them and suspend their license, and that's completely up to your discretion. And then expunction. The thing that I want to really point out to you and make sure that it's loud and clear, 450216, right down here, of the Code of Criminal Procedure, excludes alcohol, tobacco, and education code offenses. But the main thing about 450216 is it is mandatory that we provide them a copy of this. Okay, if you're not doing it, which I'm not, you know, no one's going to fuss at anybody, but we need to start doing that. It says the court shall provide a copy of this section to the defendant. It doesn't say when you need to do it. You should probably do it at the disposition phase of the hearing, but you need to make sure to do that. 450216, Code of Criminal Procedure. And I have just about, I've run out of time, which is a good thing because I'm out of steam. I appreciate y'all's participation. I appreciate the give and take. If anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to visit with you outside. But that having been said, I think we've got a 10-minute break built in for you. Thank you all.